time for Conversations with MIT Medical, care for the community. Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Do you know how you can make informed decisions about your sexual health and what resources are available at MIT to help you with these issues? My guest today is Dr. Howard Heller. He's a physician specializing in infectious disease at MIT Medical. Welcome to the show, Dr. Heller. Tell us about STIs on campus and the general climate of what you're seeing today.
It's obviously a very broad topic. I think in general, our population here, both students and non-students, are very well informed about STDs and how to avoid or minimize the risk of STDs. Generally speaking, I think we also have a population that is so aware that they are heavily tested. They do come in for screening for the most part on a regular basis, but we use every opportunity to educate more about STDs and ways of avoiding STDs or minimizing the risk.
So, Dr. Heller, who should get tested for STDs?
Pretty much anyone who is sexually active. And when I say sexually active, it doesn't mean a lot of partners. Anybody who's having sex with anyone should get tested for STDs until someone is in a monogamous relationship with only one partner and not having any risks of having STDs introduced into the relationship.
If someone feels they might have been exposed to an STD, how long should they wait to get tested? For HIV, for example.
That's an excellent question. And the answer about how long to wait really does depend on which STD we're talking about and how high risk activity it was. So for example, HIV, which is the one that you brought up, that would be the one that would be of probably the greatest concern. If somebody has just been at risk of acquiring HIV infection, and if it was a high risk exposure, we would want to consider post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning starting the patient on medications to reduce the risk of acquiring HIV infection. So if somebody's had a very high-risk exposure, they would come in or call up for discussion as soon as possible afterwards, because the post-exposure prophylaxis needs to be initiated within 72 hours of the exposure. For somebody who is what they consider to be lower risk, there's less urgency, but we still recommend coming in for periodic testing. For some of the other STDs, for example, syphilis, it sometimes can take a few weeks for the test to come up positive. So for that, there's less urgency to come in right away for testing. I think the best rule of thumb is that if somebody's not sure when they have to come in, how urgent it is, or how frequently, they should discuss it with either their primary care provider or with any of the healthcare providers here at MIT Medical.
Do you recommend, Dr. Heller, that people get tested yearly, annually for chlamydia, gonorrhea, if they're sexually active, and even if they've been proactive and asked their partner if they've been tested? Do you recommend people get some kind of a yearly test for maybe a many of them?
And the answer, unfortunately, to that is it depends. It depends a lot on exactly what somebody has been doing and, most importantly, how many partners. So for somebody who is at relatively low risk for HIV, for example, but might be at higher risk for chlamydia and gonorrhea, which are both infections that can even easily be transmitted from oral sex, we would recommend getting tested once a year. If we have somebody who's having multiple partners, and especially if they are doing things that might put them at higher risk for HIV, we might recommend getting tested more frequently, sometimes twice a year, sometimes every 3 months. It all depends on how many partners and how high risk. And that's part of the discussion that we have when somebody does come in for STD testing. We inquire and ask details. And the reason we ask for details about what somebody's been doing is because that guides us in our recommendations about what to test for and how often to test.
How do you recommend that tough conversation where someone tells a new partner, a new relationship, even a hookup, I have herpes, or I have chlamydia, or I had, you know, one of these STDs? Do you have to tell? What do you do?
It I think the answer to that varies in part depending upon what STD we're talking about, and different people have different thresholds for disclosure. On one extreme, there's HIV infection, which most people would agree that we should disclose to a partner, especially if that partner is going to be at risk of acquiring HIV infection from the sexual activity. For other infections, such as genital herpes, in general, we do think it's a good idea for people to disclose so that their partner can make a decision, make an educated decision about how cautious they want to be and reduce the risk of acquiring the infection. The biggest problems I see happening are when disclosure does not happen, and then the partner ends up acquiring an infection and finding out that the initial person or their partner knew about it all along and never disclosed. If somebody has disclosure and then makes a conscious decision that, okay, I'm going to reduce my risk, but I understand that I am taking risk, and then if they come down with an STD, it's after having made an educated decision and individual choice.
Give us some practical tips, Dr. Heller, for staying safe sexually, especially on campus.
Generally speaking, recommend using condoms for vaginal sex and for anal sex. For oral sex, we do officially recommend it because that really is the best way of reducing the risk of syphilis and gonorrhea and chlamydia. Realistically, we know that most people are not going to use condoms for oral sex. So if somebody is not going to be using condoms, then we recommend at least coming in to get tested for STDs like chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis, so that if somebody does acquire it, we can at least minimize the number of other partners that they will transmit it to. The same thing is for oral anal and oral vaginal sex, using some type of barrier protection like a dental dam or plastic wrap, something that would reduce or prevent the transmission of syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, those type of infections that can easily be transmitted from oral sex.
And so if people are practicing safe sex, but at this point, a lot of students today have had Gardasil. So are they, can they consider themselves protected from HPV or no?
Excellent question. More and more of our young patients are vaccinated with Gardasil, which does reduce the risk of HPV, but does not prevent it entirely. HPV, human papillomavirus, is the most common sexually transmitted infection. And the reason is because most people who have it do not know that they have it. But we do not have an accurate blood test that can tell if somebody is infected. So even if somebody comes in for STD screening, we aren't able to do a test that lets us know if they're infected. There are many different strains of HPV, and the vaccine only protects against four of the strains. Fortunately, they are the strains that are the most common causes of genital warts and genital or anal cancer and cervical cancer, but the vaccine does not work 100%. And we do emphasize that when we give the vaccine, it's going to reduce the risk but not eliminate it altogether.
What resources are available, Dr. Heller, at MIT to help students come up with these issues to discuss, to get tested? Tell us about the center.
So at MIT Medical, students as well as employees and other people at MIT who get their care here can get comprehensive STD testing for all of the STDs. Women can get pap smears here at MIT Medical and also can get counseling about STDs or sexual health. They can see one of the primary care providers, either one of the physicians or one of the nurse practitioners. Patients have a choice of if they prefer a male provider or a female provider. We also have other resources in our wellness department, our health and wellness department, about sexual health, things that are not related to sexually transmitted infections. A lot of the information is available at our website, and people can go to that to navigate and try to find out who the right person or where the right resource is. And if somebody isn't sure, just call and ask, and we can direct people to the place that they need to go for their resources.
And this also includes information on all types of contraception, including for pregnancy, right? There's obstetrics and gynecology involved?
Correct. correct. We do have an obstetrics gynecology department here. Most of the birth control oral contraceptives are prescribed by primary care providers, so people don't necessarily need to see their gynecologist to get routine gynecologic care or to get started on birth control. And the same is true for IUDs. Some of the primary care providers insert their own IUDs. If not, then they would get referred to the gynecology department. And I also want to emphasize that all testing that is done here, all STD testing, pap smears, for students or for employees who get their care here, all of it is covered by the insurance. They do not get billed for the costs of the testing that's done.
Thank you so much, Dr. Howard Heller, Associate Medical Director of the Medical Department at MIT. You're listening to Conversations with MIT Medical. For more information, you can go to medweb.mit.edu. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.